बेपर्दा सीनों से हुआ रंग जमाना, आंखों ने शुरू कर दिया अब दिल को सताना। बेपर्दा सीनों से हुआ रंग जमाना, आंखों ने शुरू कर दिया अब दिल को सताना। मुमकिन नहीं सूरत में न हो कोई तगयुर, मुमकिन नहीं सूरत में न हो कोई तगयुर। बेकार है दिल इनसे तेरा दिल का लगाना। बेपर्दा सीनों से हुआ तंग जमाना, आंखों ने शुरू कर दिया अब दिल को सताना। लेकिन नगर आंखों को न तू उनसे बचाए, लेकिन नगर आंखों को न तू उनसे बचाए। मुमकिन नहीं गिर दिल का तेरे उनसे बचाना, मुमकिन नहीं गिर दिल का तेरे उनसे बचाना। बेपर्दा हसीनों से हुआ तंग जमाना, आंखों ने शुरू कर दिया अब दिल को सताना। आंखों की हिफाजत में है इस दिल का सुकून भी, आंखों की हिफाजत में है, आंखों की हिफाजत में है इस दिल का सुकून भी। गो नफ्स करे तुझसे कोई और बहाना। बेपर्दा हसीनों से हुआ तंग जमाना, आंखों ने शुरू कर दिया अब दिल को सताना। धोखा है तुझे लुत्फ हसीनों से मिलेगा, धोखा है तुझे लुत्फ हसीनों से मिलेगा। इबलीस के कहने से कभी उस पे न जाना। बेपर्दा हसीनों से हुआ तंग जमाना, आंखों ने शुरू कर दिया अब दिल को सताना। पागल की तरह फिरते हैं होशाक मजाजी, पागल की तरह फिरते हैं होशाक मजाजी। बेचैन है दिन रात ये बदनाम जमाना, बेचैन है दिन रात ये बदनाम जमाना। बेपर्दा हसीनों से हुआ तंग जमाना, आंखों ने शुरू कर दिया अब दिल को सताना। रहना है अगर चैन से सुन लो ये मेरी बात, रहना है अगर चैन से सुन लो ये मेरी बात। आंखों को हसीनों की नजर से न मिलाना। बेपर्दा हसीनों से हुआ तंग जमाना, आंखों ने शुरू कर दिया अब दिल को सताना। अख्तर की एक बात नसीहत की सुनो तुम, अख्तर की एक बात नसीहत की सुनो तुम। इन मुर्दा हसीनों से कभी दिल न लगाना, इन मुर्दा हसीनों से कभी दिल न लगाना। बेपर्दा हसीनों से हुआ तंग जमाना, आंखों ने शुरू कर दिया अब दिल को सताना। मुमकिन नहीं सूरत में न हो कोई तगयुर, बेकार है फिर उनसे तेरा दिल को लगाना। बेपर्दा हसीनों से हुआ तंग जमाना, आंखों ने शुरू कर दिया अब दिल को सताना।
अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह वकफा وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم، ثم الصلاة على المختار في القيم، مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا، مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه فطاب من طيبهن القار والأكم روحي الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل حول من الأحوال مقتحمي يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Before starting our talk proper, we'll just give a little bit of this poem that was recited for those brothers who might not understand the Urdu. We won't translate it, but just it is on one of the aspects that we want to speak on tonight, and that is to look after our gazes. Not to look at things which are haram for us to look, other women, etc. And today, unfortunately, to a great extent, many people have become, in fact, addicted to porn, etc. These are all terrible sins, spiritual sins, which destroy a person from the core. So the Hadrat has explained this, that a person should be on his guard with regard to this, and all other spiritual diseases also. And we have to protect ourselves, and he's given the remedy also in this, which inshallah, during the course, we will be explaining from here. So this is what the gist of this poem was. In poetic form, it is a bayan, a lecture which Hadrat is giving, that how careful we should be with regard to the gazes. And in a beautiful way, that we should protect ourselves from every sin. And in fact, one brother met me recently, one of our friends, and he says that since I have now started to some extent protecting my gazes, Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala has given me so much peace of mind and contentment of heart. Really, Islam has come, which is a religion of peace. But that religion, Haji Bhai Padia Rahmatullah Alayh, used to say people have heard about Islam. People have read about Islam. People want to see Islam. When that Islam will become alive in our lives, then we will see the great benefit of it. So if we want that peace of mind and contentment of heart, it is in living Islam. Not just talking about Islam. A lot has been spoken about Islam. A lot has been written and read about Islam. But it has to come into our lives. Then inshallah we will get that full enjoyment. Also, according to our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, Hadrat Maulana Shaykh Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, he should say before every bayan, make muzakara, discuss one sunnat of Hadrat Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the sunnats of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are so valuable. For example, just by way of example, it's not so such a long time ago, many of us might be remembering that time, or we hear in our elders talking of that time, when we used to buy rice, it wasn't like today, clean rice. Today, when they want to cook, they just take it from the packet and put it in the pot, or they just wash it lightly, because it's clean completely. There are no more stones in it, little pieces of twigs, etc. Before, all this had to be there, and women had to sit for hours cleaning the rice. Anyway, if a person bought 1 kilo, 10 kilos of rice, and he knew there will be some stones also in there, and he knew there will be some twigs also in there, but he paid for the twigs and the stone the price of rice. And why did he pay for it? Because it was together with the rice. They were joined together. And then he looked after that rice after he bought it. Somebody mustn't steal it. In case weather conditions, rain, etc., it doesn't get too bad. All that he looked after it. And he was looking after the stones and the twigs also. But when he brought it home, and the woman folks sat and cleaned it, and now they separated the stones the little pieces of twigs and grass and whatever they might be, and he threw that outside. Now he'll never pay the price of rice for that, and he won't look after it. Now dogs can urinate on it, people can trample on it, he's got no worry. Exactly like that. We also, as long as we have the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lives, we are worse than the twigs and the little pieces of stones. Our nafs, it is taking us to evil all the time. What terrible thoughts we get. And even in namaz sometimes what thoughts come to us. Our nafs is dirty, is filthy. But when it was joined with sunnah, there were sunnahs in our lives. And not just a few outward sunnahs, but the reality of sunnahs were in our lives. Then Allah Ta'ala looked after us, just like at the value of the sunnahs. But when we, nobody separated the sunnahs from our lives. We took out sunnahs from our lives. Oh. And now we are like the dirt that is thrown outside. And now the drinkers of wine and the eaters of swine, they preach us as they want to, and there is nobody to make even ah. There are hardly people who ask ourselves, who doesn't know what is happening in Syria? Who doesn't know what is happening around in the world? How many of us, just sorrow comes out from our heart. How many of us, regularly we make some dua for those people. People who are multi-millionaires, people have seen them with their eyes. Like these people who collect all this recycled things. People like that, just so we have a little two or three slices of bread for the family. Those people who have big, big buildings, have big, big businesses, by the next day, they were collecting recycled things just to try and feed the family. But today, nobody even cries for them. Who makes dua for them? We are in our comfort zone. We are quite happy. Perhaps somebody will make a collection. We will give something. We will hear a lecture. We will feel a bit sad. But that's the end of the story. Then we forget everything again. So that is all because we have left out the beautiful sunnah. This is, I'm trying to explain to myself, to all of us, how valuable the sunnahs are. If we will bring them into our lives, one sunnah, Allah will bring more and more into our lives. And the whole of deen will come. In a beautiful hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a person who reads 100 times a day, La ilaha illallah. How long will it take? 3-4 minutes. That's all it will take. And who hasn't got 3-4 minutes? And if for a start, while you are driving to work, while you are perhaps on the phone and you are on hold, sometimes you are on hold 5 minutes, you can finish that 100 times. And if there's a way, a person who will read just 100 times, La ilaha illallah, and it's so easy. His face will shine like the 14th full moon on the day of Qiyamah. That means he will have a very great and high position. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah alayhi asked the question here, that in this hadith no reference is made to 5 times namaz, no reference is made to zakat, to hajj, to fasting during the month of Ramadan, nothing. Just 100 times to about 3-4 minutes. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. Just 100 times. Now, it won't take any time. And your face will shine. In other words, you'll have a great position on the day of the Qiyamah. He explains this in this way, which is very necessary for us during these days. Today, to tell a person to give up sin is very hard. Sins have become dear to us. The way of the non-Muslims has become our lifestyle. We swear them, we speak bad about them, but their whole lifestyle is our lifestyle. And to give it up is very hard. So a simple way has been shown in this hadith. Just do these few simple things. So the explanation is that the 14th full moon, how your face will shine on the day of Qiyamah, at the beginning of the month, it is just the crescent. And you can't even see the moon, and many people, we have a lot of difference of opinion. Is it Eid tomorrow? Was the moon sighted? It's so fine, you can't see. But 14 nights has to pass, and the rest of the moon was dark. 14 nights pass, and all the darkness is gone. So in the same way, a person who will continuously read La ilaha illallah, it will bring all the other bright things into our lives, and all the bad and dirt will go out. If we come in the masjid, Isha time, and the lights were switched off, for example, or we're going home anywhere in the room, it's dark, you just press one button, just one knob, and the lights come. Now, where did the darkness go to? You don't even know where it went to. So today, it is not difficult, it is difficult for us to take out the darkness from our hearts, from our lives. So all you do, put the light on. And then the darkness, where it will get dispelled, you don't know. So just like that, one sunnah. And the sunnah I have in mind to speak about, we will see it's so simple. And it's so necessary. Logically, it's absolutely necessary for us. And this one sunnah will help us to put more light in our lives. And as light will come, darkness will go out. And then we will have only light in our house. Also, for example, a person is worried about TV. I've got a TV in my house. It's not the right thing. I know a lot of wrong things are coming. My family, my children are getting influenced. I get carried away also. So our ulama say, in these times, don't tell the person to take out the TV. Tell him to have the alim in the house. The more he's going to get occupied, and his children, then he'll see we haven't got time for the TV anymore. If you're going to tell him to take out, the wife is going to fight with you, the children are going to fight with you, you won't like it. So you just start with some ta'aleem, some other good activity, and you won't have time for that. And this problem is solved. So the sunnah that I intend speaking today is on washing hands before eating. So simple and so logical also. Wash our hands properly. And the washing of the hand should be up to the wrist. We should wash our hands. And before eating, whenever we eat, first wash our hands, which is a sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And on that we will get 100 shaheed sawab in these times. Because many people we don't, and many places also, nowadays, even very sad situation has arisen, that our pure deen, religious functional occasions have become social gatherings. Mm. For example, in Walima, what we have heard, that now they just give those wet ones. You must just use that to wipe your hand. That is not sunnah. That is the tariqah of the West, of the non-Muslims. Our tariqah is to wash hands. Go take the trouble, and everywhere there are taps, there is a basin, go and wash your hands. What is the benefit of it? Why should we wash our hands? We are going to be eating food, so we have to wash our hands. And our hands, for example, especially a person who deals with money in the shop, we are counting, we brought the money back home, we are counting it. The wife says food is ready, we will sit down to eat. And we all know many people where they keep money. How filthy and dirty that money is. When we were counting, we were handling. Even if you just take out your little coin purse and you take out the 5 rand and you give it to somebody at the traffic light, a 2 rand, it's got a lot of dirt on it. Now with that dirty hands you eat, all the dirt is going inside. So see, our sunnah is so perfect that we remove that. And the best antiseptic is water. You wash with water, you wash, is the best antiseptic. You clean your hands, now you wash it, and therefore also it is sunnah not to dry your hands before eating. With your wet hands you should eat, and then the dirt doesn't go. So great rewards in it, so much of benefit for the human body also. And you will be saved of how many diseases we cannot imagine. One time, in South America, there was a Tabligh Jamaat, and for some reason, they had to eat at a restaurant, Muslim restaurant. When they sat there to eat, when they were drinking water, they were looking in the glass and drinking. So the owner of the restaurant came to them and asked them, why are you people doing this? I see particularly you look in the water before, which is also a sunnah. So if there is any dirt or anything, you can pick it up. So they asked him, why are you asking us this question? He said, just last week, a young girl ate in my restaurant and she became so sick, and they took so long to diagnose what was the problem. When they found out there was some dirt, an insect or something in the water. And she drank that, and that caused all the upheaval, and she became very ill. So our sunnah is that you look in the glass and you see there is nothing, and so you are safe. So he says, by practicing on the sunnah, you can't cut out that problem right from the root. So may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to learn every sunnah. and bless us with the love of every sunnah. To have the love of sunnah, today unfortunately we got the love of the world people. To have the love of sunnah is a great ibadah on its own. Of course, we are not in a position to practice on every sunnah, but have the love of it in the heart, cherish it in the heart. And then practice as much as we can and propagate it. By propagating, telling other people, it will come into our lives also. So always, let us wash our hands before eating, make sure, not dry them, and after eating, wash them again. Now you can dry them also. So this is a very important aspect. The subject that I wish to speak on is this one surah of the Quran Sharif, Wash-Shamsi Wal-Duha. The middle, there is a very, what a composition Allah has presented, what a bayan Allah has presented to us. At the beginning, Allah Ta'ala has taken six qasams, and they are all in pairs of two. So three sets of two types of qasams Allah has taken. And the ulama have written the most qasams Allah has taken at one place in the Quran Sharif is in the surah. Many places Allah has taken qasam, and why does Allah take a qasam and oath? Allah is absolutely the truth. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنَ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. Who can speak a better word? Allah Ta'ala is the most truthful. There's no doubt in the words of Allah. But just like a father wants to convince his son that I'm telling you, this is a bad habit you have got, your smoking habit, coming home late, so late, etc., all these bad habits. And he said, I take qasam and I'm telling you. Why he wants to convince him? Or a mother is advising her daughter, and she's in the speech, she takes a qasam. Why she wants to convince her? What I'm telling you, I got experience. I'm 50 years old today. You still 15 years. You don't know what it's like. Please listen to me. I'm taking qasam and I'm telling you. So Allah, how Allah has gone to what lengths to convince us of the subject. And so at the beginning, Allah has taken this six qasams in pairs. And then, I won't go through the details, it will take a lot of time, but just to give us an understanding, وَالشَّمْسِ one qasam, وَالْضُحَاهَا the sun and the brightness of the sun. And if a person has to think, the creation of the sun, we just take it for granted. That is another great defect we have got. We see the sun rising every morning, and alhamdulillah, there are many people who come for fajr. We see the sunrise, what a beautiful scene. Who is it that took this huge ball of fire and controls it? If you have got a, you're making a bride, and they say, now take it to the backyard from the front yard, and you're walking through the house with that bride, if one charcoal has to fall somewhere, if it has to fall on a child, it has to fall on somebody, what will happen? This huge ball of fire, and it's fully in the control of Allah. When Qiyamah will come, Allahu Akbar, when everything will go out of control, haywire, a person, Allah save us from that. That wherever we are, we will be in our qabrs, inshallah. But there also, may Allah let us not see the scenes of Qiyamah. It's unbelievable what will happen at that time. Anyway, this huge sun rising, the world was quiet at night. There wasn't a sound. It was dark at night. It was cool at night. Maybe cold at night. With the sun rising, light is coming in the world. With the sun rising, heat comes. Energy comes. Vitamin D. Doctors will tell you, sit in the sun, especially in winter, 20 minutes a day. Be in the sun. Don't just be in the shade all the time. Your body needs it. Your bones need that very essentially. All that free of charge. If you doctor prescribes something for you, you know what the prices of medicine are today. You need the medicine, but you can't afford it. You get, and that makes you more sick. He says you have to take this for life. And the medicines are so expensive. What if Allah gives it free of charge to everyone? So how great is not Allah? Anyway, as I said, if we have to go in the details of everything, our time will get finished, and we won't have started with our actual subject. Then, وَالشَّمْسِ وَالْضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا the sun and the moon, the day and the night, the skies and the earth, and each one needs a lot of explanation. How strikingly Allah has put these things to convince us and to see the qudrat and the power of Allah. After taking all those oaths which are the most in the Quran, Allah takes one special oath separately, not in bed, just one oath on its own. وَنَفْسِي وَمَا سَرَّاهَا
And this lips of human being, this body of human being, and how Allah is balanced. Allahu Akbar. We just say, we take it for granted. My daughter, your daughter, is our own daughters. They are expecting, child is going to be born. Everyone, we are happy also, but we are one, must be a normal child. It mustn't be abnormal. It mustn't be deformed. Allah save us all, the whole ummah, the whole of mankind. Well, we are very worried, we are concerned at such times. So just imagine, and who is it that made the child in the womb of the mother of Islam? And that also Allah Ta'ala says, that how Allah Ta'ala yakhluqukum fi butuni ummahatikum. Allah yakhluqukum. In Arabic grammar, it is the present and the future tense. That means continuously Allah is creating. Yakhluqukum. Allah is creating you, your children, your progeny. Fi butuni ummahatikum. In the wombs of your mothers. Where is Allah's factory? We got a factory. The power, we need so much power here. We need so many doors. We need so many trucks. We need so many storms. But Allah's factory is in the small womb of the mother. So Allah Ta'ala says, يَخْلُقُكُمْ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ خَلْقًا مِنْ بَعْدِ خَلْقٍ. One stage after the other. Allahu Akbar. One Canadian doctor, not Muslim at that time, now he's a Muslim, if he's still living. He wrote a book on how a child is formed within the mother. From the what science now, medical science now, they got scanners, they got machines, X-ray machines, all the knowledge which they have accumulated. So he wrote a whole book of how a child is formed from the sperm right to the time the child is a complete human being, a small little beautiful baby when it comes out. How innocent, how beautiful the child is. So he wrote all that, and then at the end of the book he appealed, if there's anyone in the world who can shed light on how a child is formed from any other source besides medical source. He said, medical source, we've got all that at our disposal, we know it, but from any other source. A Malaysian Muslim doctor wrote to him many ayats of the Quran, how Allah has shown that how Allah creates the child. And when he read that, he accepted Islam. And till today, just now, one email that I received, he has explained, means adab. Allah says that Allah created you from one blood, and three different meanings of adab. And he says like that, the ordinary doctor or the person who looks at the X-ray also won't see that. But when you go into the depths of it, you see those three meanings, how they are illustrated perfectly. Then he goes on and he says, this is nothing but the word of God. This is nothing but the word of God. At the time, 1400 years ago, when there was no word like university, there was no word like all these medical terms and scientific terms and all that. And the doctors who deal with of a child, what are they called? Gynecologists. There was no gynecology. There were no gynecologists in the deserts of Arabia. And so perfectly he says that the Quran explains them today what medical science took so many years to find out. Quran explained it 1400 years ago how the child is formed step by step. خَلْقًا مِنْ بَعْدِ خَلْقٍ. And how it is formed. خَلْقًا مِنْ بَعْدِ خَلْقٍ. And on top of that, three ظُلُمَاتٍ ثَلَاثٍ. In three layers of darkness. The darkness of the mother's body inside, the darkness of the womb, and the darkness of the little bag in which the child is kept. Unless, and not one, if a person today can make one child, it's a miracle. Allah makes, according to the statistics, 250,000 children are born a day. Allah is making. Allah is supplying 500,000 eyes a day to the little child in the Amazon forest, to the little child in the Congo forest, to the child in New York City, to the child in Bombay, throughout the world, the rich and the poor, the learned and the unlearned. It doesn't mean only if you're a gynecologist is your child going to get eyes, or only if you're an optometrist is your child going to get eyes. Everyone, and free of charge. And Allah is, if we use it right, for a whole life guarantee Allah gives. And Allahu Akbar. Also think, when Musa alayhi salatu was salam was asked, Mar Rabbuka ya Musa, who is your Rabb? He said, my Rabb, is that Rabb who creates from one drop of sperm? Just they are amazed and taken aback with a chuck. How much of information in that one chuck? In one drop of sperm, Allah has kept the material for the brains also. Uh-huh. And in the material of the heart, two completely different things. Both are very soft and jelly-type, but completely, and one can never do the work of the other. And in that same drop of sperm, Allah has kept the material of the skull, which is solid bone, to protect the brain inside. In case something falls on you, an accident, we wear skull caps, more protection, but Allah put His own skull cap on, so that we protect ourselves, to protect all the vital organs in the body, the lungs, the liver, the heart. Allah made the rib cage to protect it. So how much Allah Ta'ala has done. And our nails, our hair, our skin, everything is in that one little chuck. That one little drop of semen, Allah makes everything from it. And everything slowly, gradually Allah Ta'ala makes us. So this wa nafsi wa ma sawwa. Just imagine, and if a person, if Allah, if we were to make, when quality things, somebody just told me one, the Samsung G7, how many were called battery? Because it exploded or something, the battery. And if Allah had to recall all His creation, there's a fault in this one, there's a fault in that one. How Allah Ta'ala created. And also where we see things are not going right, let me guarantee you, it is our fault. We are doing the wrong things. Once, a very long at the Darul Uloom, we had just started. One father told me, I need to take my son to the dentist. I said, no problem, come take him. He went on a Saturday morning, he brought him back. Today we understand it, but at that time we couldn't understand. He asked him, what was the problem? He said, the tooth is actually growing upside down. The roots are coming down in the mouth, and the tooth is going up. So I said, how can that be? You never heard of something. He said, doctor says our eating habits, all the junk foods, etc. And so all these things cause our problems. If we stay right, inshallah, everything will be right. If today, it is a scientific fact, if the mother has got AIDS, if she's a smoker, it affects the child in the stomach. So what the thoughts of the mother will be, the thoughts of the father, especially when the mother has conceived, after that we have to be very careful with our thoughts also. The environment in which it is, all that we have to be very, very careful, otherwise it has a direct effect on the child. And today we are picking up so many problems. Doctors say we never heard of a thing like this. It's nowhere written in our textbooks all these things which are happening. It's all our wrong ways that we are doing things. So anyway, 250,000 children, Allah is every day, Allah is putting, and everyone is, Allah makes perfect. So if it was such that a child is born with one big eye, like a tennis ball size, and the other eye is so small like a little bead, how would we look? If the one ear was like the ear of an elephant, so big, and the other side was just a little bumper, or if our foot, one of our legs, was 1 meter long, which normally it is roughly that, a grown-up person, and the other one was 1 foot, 12 inches, how we would hop and walk, how should have we been? And the mother never experienced that the angel comes, Farishta, and he measures that. And if you draw a building, architect has to come regularly, engineer has to come, and he makes sure that everything is in order. Because afterwards you can't rectify the foundation, it must be square, it must be laid out properly, everything. No Farishta ever goes in there to check. It is the work of Allah, directly the hand of Allah. And not one child, 250,000. And then when the child is born, one aspect, that the child is born without any teeth. Sometimes the child is born with one tooth, but normally no teeth. Why? Because the child is not going to eat solid food stuff, and also Allah. But just recently I learned this, and I like to share with my brothers what we learned, that the beauty, the great wisdom of making tahmeed, that is, you have a date, khajur, some pious person chews it, the father, anyone can do it, a pious person preferably, and then you take a piece of that and you put it on the palate of the child as soon as it's born. And we try and do it, we should do it, we are doing it, inshallah. As you put your finger in, you see automatically the child starts sucking, and it enjoys it, it's sweet. There's a lot of strength in it, a lot of vitamin, but the thing is, the actual object is the muscles of the cheeks, etc., are being developed. And they develop now when the child sucks like this and moves its mouth like that. Now for the child to drink milk, etc., everything else is easy. So at the beginning anyway, there are no teeth. And then as we go on later, one, two teeth come, milk teeth. Okay? And then afterwards, the solid teeth come. And Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Paalan Puri Rahmatullah used to explain this very beautifully. He says, like, if there's going to be a big cup final, though we don't promote all this, I'm just giving an example. You have another little match before that match. So the big match will be when we eat roast and we eat biryani and we eat all the delicious things. But before that, the child is going to have milk. He's going to suck on milk, Bhojia biscuits, Mary biscuits, all those light things. So he just needs milk teeth. And when the main match will come on, then the main teeth come. Now, if we have to prepare and work on this according to our intellect, and we say when the child is 1 year, his tooth must be 1 millimeter. And when he's 10 years old, 10 millimeters, 1 centimeter. And when he's 20, 25, 2, 2.5 centimeters, the bottom teeth, and the top teeth also 2, 2.5 centimeters. And round about that age, boys and girls get married at the age of 20, 25. And you go and look at the girl also. You see her, and she sees you. Now, if you have to go with a tooth 2.5 centimeters, and you smile at the girl when you see the girl, she'll run away from the other girl. Who are my parents getting me married to, a human being or to a bulldozer, the earth-moving machine? And you'll run from this side, she will be the same condition. Who is it that brought me just to this one, 7, 8 millimeters, the front teeth, and then his whole life it stops. And if we do our dental care properly, and our eating habits are properly, without braces, somebody when braces just started, they say crime rate is so high that now they put burglar bars on the teeth and people are stealing the teeth out of your mouth. Now if you put burglar bars for that also. So anyway, you don't need no braces. And nothing, not implants, not false teeth, your own natural teeth will look like pearls in the mouth. If we look after them properly, and not the only, if we look, go today to the remote areas, where we think we are very advanced, they got no dentist in that place, no orthodontist, they ever heard the word also. But a man who's 80, his teeth are still 100% intact. Because we got rotten teeth, all the sweets that we eat, and the children with their whole day chappies, chop, 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 whole day, and now on the digital phone, or digital, everything digital. As somebody said very nicely, this digital is Dajjal Ta, the language of Dajjal. Ta in Afrikaans, language. So digital, Dajjal Ta. So all these things here, that is making us sick like this. Our teeth, the little children, I have got glasses already. Otherwise, if you go to the remote areas anywhere, where they eat natural food, and they live a proper lifestyle, no glasses, no false teeth, no earphones, nothing. They don't need all this in their lives. And they just carry on with their lives. So anyway, Allah Ta'ala has made it that the teeth will just come to a certain level and stop there. And also consider, if you are now 80 years old, Nana Baji, Dada Baji, Nani Ma, Dadi Ma, and the tooth has grown to 8 centimeters. And you love your great children, your grandchildren and your great grandchildren. But the children don't like the old people. They are boring, these old people. They want to be playing all the time. And if you had so big teeth, they think you're going to bite them and eat them up. They won't come anywhere near you. Who is this? Made this body and made it perfectly, correctly. It is only Allah. Then the important thing is the message in front now. After taking all this qasams and Allah's explanation, and the human being, how it works, and the heart, how it pumps, and the lungs, and the kidneys, and all their function. Today, everything is a separate study. Go to this specialist, go to that specialist. And they also have to give up at the end. We don't know. We just try. Perhaps this will apply this out.
nobody. This machine is a manifestation of the greatness and the qudrat and the oneness and the existence of Allah. If anyone wants proof of Allah, my dear friend, it is not outside you the proof. You yourself is the proof of the existence of Allah, the qudrat and the power of Allah. And if you look outside, look at the skies. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ, the heavens and the earth, the changing of day and night, the changing of the season, summer, winter, autumn, spring, all this speaks of volumes of the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, how great Allah Ta'ala is. Whether he's a Chinese person, or whether he's a Sudanese, he's a black man, whether he's a white man from Europe, whether he's a brown man from Asia, all Allah is made on the same pattern. And Allahu Akbar. This one thumbprint of ours, one square centimeter, every human being is different. Wow. Eh? Forget, ask any person, ask your computer to make different designs. It will make 1,000, 10,000, 20,000, and it will have to come to a stop. It can't make any more. Every human being is different. Eh? So how great is that? So anyway, this nafs Allah has made. Yeah, then the important thing in front that we have to understand, Allah Ta'ala says, we all, what is that? There are two things of which we are all made up of. Our body and the ruh, the soul which is inside. As long as the soul, the ruh is within us, we are living. A person might be in a coma, Allah save us all. Some people 2-3 months in a coma. Somebody how long? Allah save us all. But the ruh is still inside. You can't take the person and go and bury that person. He's a living person. Only when the ruh goes out. Somebody might be having so many problems, we shall die. But death is not in our hands also. And even if we think by committing suicide we can die, it's not so. Mm. Eh? I don't know now, but long ago, Guinness Book of Records had that people who tried 28 times to commit suicide, but they failed. So only when mort is written will a person die. It won't come 1 second earlier, it won't come 1 second later. One very good Hakim was here with us now. He says, no sickness kills a person. No accident kills a person. No gun kills a person. It is only when mort is written a person dies. Otherwise, how many times, one accident, the baby came out without scratches. And the young strong people, they died on the scene. So if the accident, the first, the baby should have died. How many sicknesses? It kills one person, another person. Outward it looks, the cause is that sickness. But why the other person is still living? And how many people were in a coma for so long? Now they are well again. So it is only when our mort is written. So anyway, this body and the ruh inside. And what is the ruh? وَيَسَلُونَكَ عَلِي ruh. They ask you, what is the ruh? What is this life? And Islam, Quran Sharif has given the sentence, the answer in two words. Otherwise, in the Western world, go and see in any university, any library, they've written volumes and volumes and volumes on what is the soul, what is this life which is within us. And they come to no conclusion. Allah Ta'ala says, وَيَسَلُونَكَ عَلِ الْرُوحِ قُلِ الْرُوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. Ruh is from the commands of Allah. Your life is in you, and the minute Allah takes it out, now you got no life. Your eyes are 100% perfect. They can be grafted into another person, they work in him who has got ruh. But you haven't got a ruh, it doesn't work in you. Your heart is working, functioning 100%. They transplant it into somebody else, it works there, but it wasn't working in you because your ruh is gone out. As long as the ruh is there, the things can work. But when the ruh is not there, it doesn't work. So these two things Allah has made of the human body, which we all understand. Now, these two are there, which Allah has made this human body. It is now that what Allah is teaching us, we have to make the body subservient to the ruh. The ruh must control this whole thing. Not the body must control it. Body is made of sand and water, and it loves the things of this dunya, which are all made of sand and water. So the body wants comfort, the body wants respect and honor, the body wants all the things of this dunya. But if the body is going to control, and the ruh is going to be under, the example of that is, you bought your latest BMW brand new, you brought it home, you're showing the family, your young little child, 15-year-old boy, he got hold of the key and he went there for a spin.
And usually that car, at what speed?
And how many times we have heard in residential areas, we can't understand. How could they be driving at that speed to capsize the car in a residential area? Mm. But that is what speed, what power that car has got.
Why? Because the car is out of control.
In that same car, if it was in control, what won't it do for you?
But now it has killed those children, the four or five friends were there.
Many times we have such accidents.
Just like that, if the nafs is in control of us, of the road, doesn't you allow you to get up for fajr?
Doesn't control your eyes,
doesn't control your language. You see the most terrible language coming out from that person.
How he swears, how he accuses,
and what terrible things he does with his tongue,
because it is out of control. If the ruh was in control,
and the ruh, a person who knows how to control that being,
he can use it for many years and travel where and where.
So the essential thing is that the ruh has to come, has to control the nafs. So Allah Ta'ala says, and this nafs Allah has made it. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا.
We have put in it desire of bad also, and desire of good also. And this is the fight between the two. All of us experience this all the time.
That you want to go for namaz, now something else is pulling you away somewhere else.
You want to live a proper life, but now something else is pulling you in a different direction.
This fight carries on all the time.
So if you have to make an effort, that you get your ruh to control your body.
And if the ruh is controlling the body, then inshallah, the body will follow the commandments of the ruh. So this is the important thing that we have to understand. Now, at this juncture, let us take into consideration for this body here, what facilities are not available. For example, this body wants a nice motor car. Whatever kind of motor car you can think of, you can go and see, there will be available. This body wants a nice house. What types of houses?
This body likes a nice garden, swimming pool, all those things.
This body likes nice food. So how many types of food are available? This body likes coolness in summer, heat, warmth in winter.
How lot of facilities?
And then for the car, workshops and showrooms.
How much of it is available?
This body gets sick. How many hospitals are available?
How many doctors, specialists, fine things they specialize in?
All this is for the body.
Am I correct? Following me?
And now for the ruh, which is the life of this body.
Do we find any workshop for the ruh? Do we find any shop to sell the commodities for the ruh?
Do we find any hospital for the ruh?
This is what we are talking of when we talk of islah.
That we have to make islah, the ruh has to be corrected. And the ruh must come under, must take control of the things. If your house is gone out of control, the wife is doing what she wants to, your children are doing what they want to, there's a big problem in the house.
In your business, everyone is doing what he wants to. In a government, everyone is doing,
it's out of control. We know it's chaos what happens there.
So like that, our condition has become where the nafs is controlling and the nafs wants to just take you to evil all the time. All this effort of islah which is being spoken about, the effort of khanqa, even of tabligh, of all this, of acquiring Islamic knowledge, becoming an alim, is that we understand all these things and the ruh comes under, takes control. And the nafs is subservient to the ruh. When once that will happen, Allah Ta'ala says, and also remember that our desires of sin, Allah has put them. And if they were not there, then there was nothing to do.
One time, one mutawalli there was, he told a group of people, they were sitting, he was maybe about 50 years old that time, he said that till today, I never got a traffic fine. Not for speeding, not for wrong parking, not for seat belt, for nothing.
Everyone was surprised. You do pick up a traffic ticket somewhere or the other.
He said, I never drove a car in life.
So if you never drove a car, how do you get a traffic fine?
You never drove a car. So a person who hasn't got desire of evil, how can he save himself? Why must he save himself?
He can't. Our Shaykh says, if you go to the Qabristan and you say, all these people here who are in the Qabristan, how pious are they? They don't commit one guna also.
They can't. A person who can commit guna and he doesn't, that is an achievement. Therefore, to tell the malaika, the angels, that they are walis of Allah is not permissible also. Because they haven't got the desire of guna. We as human beings, Allah has put the desire of guna also. Now when we stay away, we have to burn that quality within us, that power within us, that we can stay away from sin. And when we stay, and this is moreover for young people, and people who are young, healthy, and they've got money, then they can, what can they do? The same people, if they use it in the right way, Allah loves that command. And old people, when you have handed over everything to the children, you've got nothing now. And you are old also, you got no strength also, but Allah, now you can't commit that sin. But your thoughts are still there. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah explained, when they were in India those days, they were traveling by bus, and a 90-year-old Hindu man was sitting in front of his bed, they were at the back, and a young girl came and sat. And he was gaping at that girl, not only with his eyes open, with his mouth also wide open. And when the conductor came and told him, Kaka, ticket le lo, he's not hearing. Like how today our youngsters, when they get absorbed in that cell phone, you stand on the head, they don't know what is happening. So he was so absorbed in looking that the conductor shook him by the shoulder. Ticket le lo, he's lost in his world. So even if you grow old like that, you are more cold than a cold, than a deep freeze also. But the desires of sin are still there. So if you control yourself at that time, and also our Shaykh Rahmatullah says that when you are so old, now you can't commit any guna also. And now you turn to Allah, you make tawbah, now you're getting up for tahajjud, you can't get sleep at night, now you are making tahajjud namaz, now you are coming for your five times namaz. Allah will never say to you that when you were young and you could do everything, then you never thought of me. You never came to the masjid. Now when you are useless, everyone threw you out of the house, everything, you're snoring the whole night. And there is nothing left in you. Now you come to me, Allah will receive you and open your arms. So this is what we have to do, turn to Allah. And as soon as possible, youngsters, elderly people, whoever we are, and what our children also, have this concern for our children. Otherwise, the future of our children, we know we are very worried. Everyone is worried, what is going to happen? And remember also, our object of life is not just to get a certificate and to earn a nice living and have a nice life. Our real object of life, a reminder for me, for all of us, is the qabr. Right? That how are we going to fare in the qabr? The Imam Sahib who read today's khutbah, Maulana, he said that the qabr, when Malakul Maut will come, he'll tell you, oh ruh, which is evil and dirty, and what punishment of it. And for others, oh ruh, that is so wonderful and so beautiful, what enjoyment it is. The qabr is either a garden of Jannat, may Allah make it for all of us and all our families. Otherwise it's a pit of fire, hell fire. And for how long? There are people who are 1,000 years, 10,000 years in their qabr. And then the day of Qiyamah is even more severe. And then it is either Jannat or Jahannam. So our future is not just in my old age, and I've made some arrangement of, I've got some properties and my income, I've got a steady income, I've made some pension arrangement, and my old age. The question is of the qabr and of akhir. That is the real question which we have to be worried about. And for that we have to prepare. Allah did not forbid us from working off dunya and arranging for dunya. By all means do it. But don't forget your main object. Your main object is the akhirat, is your qabr. And for that we have to prepare. For that all this effort is carrying on of deen. Whether it is ulama who are giving bayans on Fridays here, whether it is the kitab reading taking place, whether it is the kush taking place, going to the shab guzari, going out in jamaat, whether it is going to a khanqah, all that is for this purpose. And everyone is needed. Just like a motor mechanic, he fixes everyone's car, he has to fix his own car. Just like that, here also, the sheikh is not there to fix up the other people. He has to fix himself up also. We all have to fix ourselves also up, but we have to fix up others also. And then if we do that, inshallah, our journey will go in this dunya also smoothly. And that is not only words that I'm speaking, it's historically proven also. See the sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhs. What their condition was before the advent of Islam. Really, there was a lady, non-Muslim lady, who worked on this and she researched the whole world.
that who was the greatest reformer in the world. She came up with it as nobody else but Sayyidina Muhammad
Sallallahu.
That the condition of the Sahaba, the Arabs, before the advent of Islam, what it was, and when they went, and how much effort Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made to bring them into the fold, and what he turned them into. What guiding stars. People like Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Ali, Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who himself mentions his condition. He says, in the pagan days, when a daughter was born to me, it was a common habit to strip the child and then bury it alive. He said, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was tearing. He says, Umar, you managed to throw sand on your own daughter and cover her up with that. And he says, so what was their life? If we get the whole subject, but then make them guiding stars, and they are the stars by Allah Ta'ala. Allah declares for them, radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhum. Allah is pleased with them, they are pleased with Allah. So when we will make this effort, we will go. Dunya's things we made effort, see how much dunya has progressed. And our ruh, man has dropped to such low levels we cannot imagine. What is happening in the world, where and where, in Syria especially, the bombings that are there, nobody knows who is fighting who, and which way must you turn. You are living in your house now, and next minute, so many are bombed, so many are now just walking. Where they walking, they don't know where they walking. And you are comfortable, now you're just walking. It comes in the hadith, the time will come, the murderer will not know why he's murdering, and the murdered won't know why I'm being murdered. And this is what is happening today. What a life. The solution is in the deen of Islam. But as I say, not in the book of Islam, but it has to come into our lives. I need it in my life. To give a talk is easy, but to make the effort to bring it within our lives, may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. When those people who made such effort, I'll just give one little example, there are so many. One time, a Mufti Sahib from Saharanpur, maybe say about 100 years ago or whatever, roughly, he was getting his son married to a girl in Deoband, about 20 kilometers apart the places are. Those days, sand roads, dust roads, etc., ox wagon, they came, the wedding took place, everything, they were returning, it was at night, moonlit night. Bandits, robbers surrounded them and told them, give everything. So the Mufti Sahib, the father, he said, I'll give you all the wedding presents, but don't harm any one of us. He said, all right. So he gave everything. Then the girl, the bride, she had a diamond ring, a gold ring with a diamond. Then she said, Alhamdulillah, my ring got saved. I didn't think about it. Then Mufti Sahib said, give that also, because I told we're going to give everything. We will say, Alhamdulillah, Allah saved us. But he said, my word, today we are not true to our word. What little talk with the wife and how many lies are in there? You talk, when the boss, he asks you something, how much we die? The parents ask the children, how much they die? The children ask us, the wife asks us, it's just a habit and we don't think of it as a sin. We don't make toba. Our eyes, we use so much wrongly. We don't think of it as a sin anymore. We don't make toba. So he said, give that also. So he went to them. You could see they were sitting in the field. He said, we forgot this. We got left. This also. Then they carried on. After a little while, those bandits came and surrounded them again. He said, now we gave you everything what you want. He said, you are different people. We came and returned everything I do. So this is when Islam will come into us. If we are true to our word. Today we do a business deal. Somebody offers us something else. One little instance, Hewlett Sugar. This was a small little firm at one time. The owner had a car in those times, but also a second-hand old car. A Tamil person who came to buy the car from him. He made a price to finish everything, the sale is done. Somebody else went and offered him more. Now that white man, a non-Muslim, he said that, no, I've made the sale already, I'm sorry, I can't, even you're giving me more, but I can't accept it. The barakat of that Hewlett's firm came such a big amount. And today it's an international firm. So this means that that Islam that has to come into us. Not just a matter of five times namaz, and our tahajjud, and going for umrah every year, and all that, but in every word, if we treat our wives like queens in the house, and the wife treats the husband like a king in the house, what enjoyment in that life. But when we treat the husband, the wife treats the husband like a husband, then what is it? And you treat the wife like a slave in the house.
and just ordering around, swearing and ordering this and one thing that, and you are not loyal to her, you are not good to her, then what kind of that? The neighbors also see, they also say, what is it? May Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq and that we can correct our lives. And for that, effort is required. It's not just going to fall from the air. You have to go, and there are so many efforts. Don't want to feel like going in jamaat, by all means, but do this, let deen bas. You want to go to the khanqah, by all means, but let deen come into your life. You want to become an alim, make your child an alim, but take the benefit of that knowledge and let that come practically into our lives. It's no use, we get the most expensive medicine, we put it in a golden case, but we're not taking it. No, we have to take it, may Allah give me and us all topic, that we correct our lives, and for that, all this effort that you, all the brothers come around to try and bring that within our lives, may Allah give us all topic, inshaAllah. You are very beautiful to Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة المتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفينا مولانا محمد وعلى آله أجمعين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين رب تب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها فأنت خير من زكاها أنت ولي ومولاها اللهم أصل وارحم وتجاوز واغفر واهدي لأمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اهدي الناس والجان جميعا واجعلنا سببا لذلك اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم احفظنا من كل الفتن ما ظهر من وبطن اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من عذاب القبر ونعوذ بك من عذاب جهنم ونعوذ بك من فتنة المسيح الدجال ونعوذ بك من فتنة المحيا والممات ونعوذ بك من المعثم والمغرم اللهم نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك والنار اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك من نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ من نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتوب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم جزى الله عنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأهله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله